Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report. On the Bet 1520. Back by popular demand, we have Ralph M. Moore with us. He's an election commissioner for the County of Erie. He's been in that position since 2003. He's a former executive chairman of the New York State Election Commissioners Association, former chairman of that association's Republican member caucus, and participated in a number of educational programs conducted by that organization. Former Congressman Tom Reynolds has often said before public gatherings that Ralph Moore is the finest elections commissioner in the state of New York. So welcome to the Rusk Report once again. Let's talk about the second primary election to be held on August 23rd. What is that all about, Commissioner Ralph Moore?
Well, the second primary that New York's going to have is going to be limited to the federal congressional races, plus the New York State Senate races. Back in March of this year, there was a court case that went all the way up to the state's highest court, which determined that the congressional lines and the New York State Senate lines that the legislature drew were unconstitutional. It then required a new primary election for those offices. There was the possibility at that time for the state legislature to take the June primary and move it to August to coincide with this upcoming primary. However, the decision was as much political as it was practical that primary election for all the local offices, the governor's race, the state assembly, were already in progress. So the state legislature let that one continue through, and now we're having the tail end of the offices, which are the congressional and the state senate.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that idea. I don't know, as a fiscal conservative, it sort of made sense to me to have the primaries combined. I'm thinking of the millions of dollars spent throughout the state to have two primaries with elections inspectors, your machines, all your record keeping, to do it twice. I mean, isn't this a waste of money?
Well, it's going to cost a significant amount of money for the counties. It costs us about $100,000 to put on a consolidated election, and that's what this is going to be. Because there aren't that many offices, we're able to take polling locations that would be normally open, and in a particular polling location, we may have as many as eight election districts. We're going to be able to combine those election districts and only have one set of inspectors instead of eight sets of inspectors, so that saves us some money. There's still the cost of programming the machines, the office staff, the printing of the ballots, the hiring of the election inspectors, the running of the polling places, which is a significant cost. What had occurred is, of course, he had the governor's race this year, and the political considerations were that the governor herself was very much ahead in the polls. She didn't want to see a delay, which would allow her opponents more time to campaign and catch up to her. So she was certainly interested in keeping the primary in June on track, as well as a lot of the local races were already underway. There were committee races for the county office positions, and there were also local races for councilmen and town judges and offices such as that that are already campaigning. So the state legislature made its determination, and regardless of the money that it's going to cost, they decided to hold two separate primaries.
Well, it seems a little repetitive, but anyway, that's the law. Let's talk about details about early voting in Erie County and other counties. What is the early voting all about? The dates, the times, the places? What's that all about? Ralph Moore.
Well, 10 days prior to the election day, early voting starts. It's on a Saturday, and it goes each and every day up until the day, 2 days prior to the election, so the Sunday prior to the election. So it's going to be from August 13th through August 21st. There are set hours by which the legislature requires the poll to be open. In Erie County, we've always, since early voting has been initiated in New York, in Erie County, we've always been either number one or two of turnout, which includes the city of New York and the southern counties in the state. That is in part probably because we have the most polling locations open for early voting. We have a early voting site in each and every town, and nine within the city of Buffalo. Last year, the Theodore Roosevelt site was celebrating its anniversary, the inaugural site, and we added that as a special early voting site for that year, and it went so well that they asked to continue on. So we went from 37 sites to 38 sites, which we now have open. That is used electronic poll books, so you don't have to reside within the town where you early vote. It can be if you're coming home from work or you're going shopping and you pass an early voting site and say, geez, I'd like to go and vote. You're able to stop in and check in no matter where you live within Erie County, and that polling site will be able to produce your home ballot and give it to you to be able to vote.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this. You know, it's wonderful, you know, the people have all these opportunities, how inclusive we are. But what was wrong with the traditional way of voting from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.? And if you're sick or you're out of town or something, you get an absentee ballot. Why do we have to make it so easy when for 100 years it worked just fine, 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.? And if you're disabled or in the hospital or nursing home, you get an absentee ballot. Why do we have to cater so much? Why?
Well, one, it's the law. The state legislature determined that they're going to have early voting. They determined that it's going to be 10 days. Certainly when they came out with the idea of early voting, there were a lot of election commissioners that said, look, we make all these provisions for voting, which makes it easy enough. And if somebody wants to vote, it's rather difficult not to vote. We give so many opportunities through the use of the absentee ballot and the ability to show up at the poll sites. Erie County was the first county in the state of New York to go and fax ballots to military personnel overseas. We were the first county to email ballots to diplomats and other individuals who weren't able to have access to regular mail. And we had a very good voter turnout. As voter turnout started to wane in the state, and I think it was more a practice of apathy as opposed to not being able to vote, this legislature started to search for ways to make it more inclusive and to allow more opportunities to register and more opportunities to vote. With the early voting, I think, now that we've had several years of early voting, we're seeing that it really doesn't increase a lot in the voter turnout. It just makes the ability to vote at a different time more available. And the people that would normally come out to vote on election day are taking the advantage of the opportunities to go and, you know, vote at different places at different times. Once the state legislature mandated it, the Erie County Board of Elections decided, well, you know, we're going to set an example and we're going to make it as convenient as possible within our ability to do so. And when the by having the number of early voting sites that we do, the ability to go to any particular place, the hours that we had available, when the state legislature over the intervening years continued to try to increase the availability of early voting, we didn't really have to change our procedure because we were already providing those abilities and that opportunity for people to come and vote.
We're learning a great deal from the man who Congressman Tom Reynolds calls the best elections commissioner in the state of New York, Ralph M. Moore, back by popular demand on the Bet 1520 with the Rusk Report, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. If you're listening in South Buffalo, Montreal, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, the Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from Canadian and European listeners, as this station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the AMPO Legal newspaper has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the AMPO Legal. The AMPO Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. I thank those who've called regarding our recent guest, Gene Posse, regarding Social Security legislation, adjunct professor Steve Harvey, and Assemblyman Mike Norris. Coming up, we're going to have humanitarian George Miller on this program, and Joe and Sam Cardinale with Worldwide Bonding about surety bonding for construction to learn all about that. A little bit more information about Erie County Elections Commissioner Ralph Moore. A practicing attorney, Ralph Moore attended his undergraduate studies at SUNY at Albany and received his JD degree from the SUNY at Buffalo Law School. During his 42-year legal career, he participated in numerous election cases, arguing both before state and federal trial and appellate courts. Our guest today, Erie County Elections Commissioner Ralph M. Moore. Let's talk about absentee voting changes in state law. What has taken place with that, Commissioner Ralph Moore?
Well, the state legislature this year attempted to speed up the process by which absentee votes are recorded. The normal process is that absentee voting would occur. The ballots would come in. We would make sure that people who sent in absentee ballots did not also go to the polls on election day. And we also allowed an opportunity up to 13 days in a general election for military and overseas ballots to arrive at the Board of Elections. While there was the ability to count votes on election night and also any time in between, the Erie County Board of Elections always maintained that we would preserve the secrecy of the ballots best by waiting until all the ballots were returned. So we would have an unofficial tally on election night, And then we would count the absentee ballots 13 days later when the ballot time period for which to return ballots was over. We felt that that was the best. The state legislature didn't like that. They didn't like the opportunity that people had to challenge absentee ballots. So they implemented a new procedure where we have to pre-count absentee ballots both before the election that have arrived and ballots that come in on election day. And then once election day has occurred, as we receive absentee ballots, we have to periodically count them as well. There's a number of problems with that, and I think that at some point either one of the counties or one of the voters are going to challenge this procedure that was set up by the state legislature, because there are really gaping holes in the ability to go and determine how somebody who voted absentee is able to vote. And secondly, the fact that it does leave the possibility for somebody to go and nefariously go and cast more than one ballot. We've tried in Erie County to put safeguards in place to preserve this. We've tried to keep the secrecy of the ballots in check. However, when you're opening ballots before election day, when you're counting them on election night, and when you have a few ballots that come in per day after the election, it's a lot easier to determine how somebody votes. So I think that's a very terrible change that the state legislature put in place. I don't think it was well thought out at all. I think it was a reaction to perhaps downstate legislators not knowing who the winner was on election night and being anxious. But, you know, we've had over the years, we've always been in the process, outside of a very few years where we counted ballots on election night, to wait the full period of time before we counted absentee ballots. And the candidates were confident in Erie County, and the news media knew that the results that were set out on election night were unofficial and weren't going to be official until the absentee ballots were returned. The one change that the state legislature did this year in an attempt to try to provide some security so people couldn't vote twice is that if the Board of Elections issues an absentee ballot to the person, that person is not able to go to the polls and vote on the voting machine on election day. That has never been the case in New York State prior. If you applied for an absentee ballot because in good faith you believed your boss was going to send you out of town and you were going to be working out of state that day and not available, you could apply for an absentee ballot. You could even vote that ballot and send it back to the Board of Elections. But then if your plans changed and you wanted to change your mind and go to the polls and vote in person, you could do that, and we would just pull your absentee ballot. Here, you're not even allowed to go and vote on the voting machines if we've issued you a ballot. It doesn't even mean that you received the ballot. The post office could have lost your ballot, and you're now deprived of your right to go to the polls on election day. So there are many, many changes that were done with absentees this year. I think they're all bad changes to the law, and we're trying to do the best that we can to inform individuals of these changes to make sure that if you apply for an absentee ballot, you're really sure that you want to apply for an absentee ballot, vote that way, and give up your right basically to show up at the polls to vote.
We're learning a great deal from an expert on elections and all the changes in the election laws, Erie County Elections Commissioner Ralph M. Moore. If you're listening in Lancaster or Toronto or Manhattan, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, the Bet 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little bit more information about Commissioner Ralph Moore. Prior to his current appointment, he served as an assistant county attorney, head of Erie County's pretrial services program, And Ralph Moore served 6 terms as his district's representative in the Erie County Legislature. Again, Congressman Reynolds says that Ralph Moore is the best elections commissioner in the state of New York. Let's talk a little bit about why there are so many people who are now registered unaffiliated as blanks, and this prohibits them from participating in the Republican or Democratic primary. Why have we seen this trend? Are voters upset?
I think to some degree people want to have an open mind and they don't want to be affiliated with the party. There's some disenchantment between the platforms that the parties have put forth over the past years. And it's been an evolutionary type thing where people would in the past identify with a party, identify with the platform that party set forth, and even vote straight party line. It's very rare now that you see people continue to vote straight party or, you know, exude the party principles through all of their beliefs. We have a lot more individuals that are registered blanks or choose to be unaffiliated. And there was a federal court case where people who wanted to affiliate with other parties that weren't recognized by New York State were allowed to. So the Erie County Board of Elections, as other county boards throughout the state of New York, maintain lists of many, many parties that people wish to affiliate with. You still have individuals affiliated with the Right to Life Party, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party. You can even have the Brian Russ Party.
That's fine. We'll go along with that one.
You know, and the Board of Elections has to maintain that. So not only now do we have 4 recognized major parties in the state, which are the Democrat, Republican, Conservative, and Working Families Party, and you have people who are unaffiliated, which we call blanks. Other counties may call them unaffiliated or no parties. But you have now another category of others, which are all of these other parties and that the voters want to associate with in their philosophical beliefs. So that number is growing year to year. The state legislature in New York, to prevent party raiding of primaries. So if you had a primary election coming up, you couldn't have a bunch of Democrats walking into a Republican primary and voting for the weakest Republican, figuring they'll be able to beat them then in the general election. New York State always had a period in which your party change of affiliation would not take effect until a week after the general election. That was changed by the state legislature to allow for party affiliations to be immediate, except for the period from February 14th to July 1st, because the primaries of Erie County and New York State occurred usually in June, except by law to be in June. That is currently being evaluated with respect to the second primary in August. It wasn't anticipated that they were going to have the ability to change party affiliations. And the state board is scrambling with regard to how to prevent party raiding and also how to technically make some of the machines work for this August primary. So it causes a particular problem for this primary alone. But the process, the concept of having a closed primary is still very much alive in New York State and in attempts to prevent party raiding. So if you're coming up to a primary election, you have them up until February 14th to make your change of affiliation. If you change from Democrat to Republican, Republican to Conservative, Conservative to Working Families, you can make all of those changes and they'll become effective immediately, except for that period from February 14th to July 1. And then whatever affiliation you are on February 14th, that's the affiliation that you're going to vote for in the party primary.
All right, let's talk about the reporting of election results. We used to have those manual machines. They always seem to work well for decades, and now we have the electronic machines. Does this allow better reporting and quicker reporting of results on election night?
It does. We had two types of old lever machines, and they used to have machines which had a pack in the back. All of them had mechanical counters, and the ones in the city of Buffalo and some of the suburban towns had various packs which were like carbon paper. Mm-hmm. And the inspector at the end of the night would crank over this roller, and it would make an impression onto the pack as to the votes. And they would pull that sheet of paper off and be able to read off the numbers. Other machines which didn't have that, the inspectors would have to open up the back of the machines and they would read the counters and see what the total vote was. They would then pick up the phone and call the Board of Elections. And there were often mistakes that, and then the Board of Elections personnel at the other end of the phone would write them down on the sheet of paper, would hand them over to somebody who would be tallying the votes, and then they would tally it up. So either the inspector misread the number, called it in wrong, the person heard it wrong, mm-hmm. the person transcribed it wrong, or the person tallied it wrong. There were a number of areas in which you had the ability to make a mistake. And we've had instances where votes were recorded on election night, and then when we went back and looked at the machine, we saw that they were off by 100, or they were off by 10, or they read 5 and it should have been 6. So you had much more of a chance for people to go and be declared losers on election night, but then end up winning when the final results were posted. With the electronic voting machine, there's a number of safeguards that are put in place, but there's basically a USB chip that the inspectors pull. Every ballot that is placed through that machine is taken, there's an image taken of that ballot, and that ballot is tallied, and it is all contained on that USB chip. There is also another USB chip which is inside the machine, which does not get pulled, which is basically a backup and a double check onto the one that is removed by the inspectors. The inspectors then bring it over to a central point close to their town or close to their polling place. We have a Board of Elections employee standing there with a tablet. He takes the chip, puts it in, and so the numbers are electronically transmitted to the Board of Elections and comes up on the tally, which is refreshed every 60 seconds, 30 to 60 seconds. So the results are given much faster, they're much more accurate, and we're able to declare unofficial winners much quicker than we had ever
okay,
in the
I'm
past.
Sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We learned from a very gifted elections commissioner in the state of New York, Ralph Moore, elections commissioner from Erie County. Thank you to Kevin Carr, director of production, for the past 15 years, and thank you for enlightening us once again on the Rusk Report, Commissioner Ralph Moore. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.